This is VK6 Amateur Radio News with News West for Sunday the 17th of July 2022. Today we look at the history of amateur radio with stories from the early days of amateur radio in Perth through to the establishment of a Royal Amateur Radio Society in the Hutt River Province. There's a follow-up on last week's band plan story, and we hear the good news about QRM Guru being endorsed by the ACMA. These stories and more are heard right here on News West, where our catchphrase is, if it isn't amateur radio, it isn't amateur radio news. News West is produced by WA Amateur Radio News and is primarily aimed at the VK6 audience. However, our content is relevant to and heard by a much wider audience. Visit our website, vk6.net, to learn more about News West and WA Amateur Radio News. Here we are in another History of Amateur Radio session, and I hope this doesn't sound like a whinge. However, it might be in a way. You see, when I go researching amateur radio history stories for this history segment that we do at News West, what I often find is gaps, huge gaps. I spend hours trawling through the old amateur radio magazines looking for interesting stories, especially Western Australian stories, and so often the stories are simply not there. Western Australia is especially missing in so many issues of the amateur radio magazine. It's full of the amateur radio social scene in New South Wales and Victoria, and very light on for the rest of us. And more's the pity, because the amateur radio magazine is probably the only publicly available record of the history of our hobby. I can hear you thinking, well, that's in the past. What's the problem? Well, the problem is we're still doing it. Or more accurately, we're not doing it. We're not feeding our stories to the amateur radio magazine and to local newspapers in any sort of a regular pattern. Yes, we've had splashes of brilliance, and sometimes we'll see articles in local newspapers and less frequency in the amateur radio magazine. We've had locals take on the task of coordinating the VK6 notes for the amateur radio magazine, and they've given up in frustration because little or no content was being provided from clubs and individuals. So where to from here? What are you doing to record our history as we make it? History isn't about the big stuff. It's about the everyday things that occur. That's why our recent social history contains big gaps, because only the big stuff was recorded. Historians are now sifting through old rubbish tips and middens, rummaging through old sheds and scrounging around under the floorboards of old houses to pull out the small stuff and fill in the gaps in our understanding of how our ancestors lived two or three generations ago. In amateur radio, we need people who will do that. Sift through old club records, perhaps record some chats with the elderly amateurs around the place and record their stories. And by elderly, I don't just mean old people. I include those who entered amateur radio early in life and are elders in the hobby, and are still around to tell their story. Our history is important, so please treasure the bits and pieces of our history, and hopefully these trinkets can be kept together in a permanent record of amateur radio history. How this may happen is another new story. How would you like to help write it?
From the Western Mail, Perth, Thursday the 18th of June 1936. And the headlines, Amateur Picks Up Radio SOS. The article begins, if you read this story in a book, you'd probably think it far-fetched. A miner fell down a shaft on the Golden Shoe Mine about 3 miles from Granites on June the 8th. His leg was fractured and he appeared to be seriously hurt. So urgent messages were broadcast from 8GF, Mr. C.H. Chapman stations, for several hours. No reply was received until 7:30 p.m. that day, when the operator made contact with the Melbourne amateur station, VK3TU. That station sent a message to the Russell Street Police in Melbourne, resulting in a doctor leaving Wyndham the next day by plane to attend to the sick man.
This story is from the Daily News, Perth, Wednesday, the 9th of June, 1937. The heading is Nedland's Amateur Wins Radio Cup, followed by a photograph of Mr. Weston. Remarkable progress made in the space of 2 years is revealed in the figures behind the consistent performance of a young amateur wireless enthusiast, Mr. William Weston of Portland Street, Nedlands, It just runs off Stirling Highway if you're interested. His good work in shortwave transmission and reception has won for him the West Australian Cup, donated for the best all-round performance by a West Australian amateur transmitter over a period of 12 months. During the period from June the 1st, 1936, to May 31st, 1937, Mr. Weston exchanged greetings and messages with 924 different amateurs scattered all over the world, located in 34 countries. He contacted 23 of these transmitters by radiophone and the rest by the use of Morse code. Included in his achievements are the carrying out of test experiments on 10 metres with all Australia and New Zealand on telephony, and the holding of a schedule with America for 5 consecutive mornings, telephony communication with 23 different countries on 20 metres, including a regular schedule for 6 consecutive weekends with England, and nightly contacts with America and Canada. The winning in this state of the Australian-New Zealand Morse code contest, and the winning in Western Australia of the American Radio Relay League phone contest for the greatest number of contacts. His transmitter is built into a 6-foot rack and panel and was entirely designed and built by himself. It comprises of a 5-valve radio frequency section, the power section of 4 valves, and a 5-valve modulator complete with monitor speaker and a crystal microphone. Mr. Weston contends that the big secret of his achievements in getting long-distance stations is the experimental work he has done on aerials. He now has a special aerial rigged, which consists of 2 40-foot poles. Originally, he erected 3 70-foot masts in a triangular formation, but these were destroyed by the wind. This is the first time Mr. Weston has won the West Australian Cup. He has been engaged in commercial radio work for a number of years, but has only held an amateur's license for 2 years.
Hello, this is Chris, VK3QB, with some more news on band plans. Last week, Andrew, VK6AS, gave a great summary of amateur radio band plans, what they are and why they're important. Andrew really hit on some important issues worth reviewing. Amateur radio band plans are a complex beast. It's all too easy to think that there is a one-size-fits-all and consistent the world over. It might be convenient to think we can simply align ourselves with IARU band plans. However, it isn't that easy. Certainly, some of our long-standing amateur radio bands share a level of consistency across many regions. But the reality is that there is no such thing as a global band plan. Indeed, even within the 3 international telecommunication union regions, there is limited overlap. Here in Australia, we have a well-defined spectrum plan and a mature political and legal system to manage compliance. We also have a well-developed Australian band plan, which has been agreed between RASA and the WIA. Band plans have developed over time within the international and domestic amateur radio communities. Band plans have traditionally been referred to as gentlemen's agreements, as they are not enshrined in law, and for us in Australia, are not part of our licence conditions. Band plans must, of course, be compliant with spectrum plans. There is no point having a band plan that conflicts with a spectrum plan. You can read more about the detail of band plans in the September-October 2020 edition of QTC. That's edition number 3. So head over to the RASA website and follow the links for QTC, or head to qtcmag.com and download the e-magazine. So again, visit qtcmag.com for the September-October 2020 edition, or to our website, vkradioamateurs.org, and download edition number 3. And as always, if you have any questions, feedback or comments, please drop me an email. 73.
This is VK6ARN, and you're listening to News West.
This is Mark, VK6QI. I remember one day in the mid-70s, a couple of VK3s came over to visit WA. The visitors, George, VK3YDB, and Bob Broughton, I just can't remember his call sign, along with Danny, VK6ZKV, who's now a Silent Key, and I went on a journey up to the Hutt River province, where His Royal Highness, Prince Leonard, had set up an antenna tower and studio with the intention of establishing a broadcast station. Prince Leonard and his family, Princess Shirl, was happy to host us all in his home and for us to use the studio and tower to operate on HF and 6 metres with our Australian call signs. What fun. So Phil, VK6ADF, has done a bit of research actually into the Hutt River province and has found an article by Eddie, VK4AN, who used to operate from Hutt River province fairly regularly. So this was a press release that he found from Eddie DeYoung, VK4AN, and it was titled The Royal Amateur Radio Society of the Hutt River Province Principality. So the press release says, "We are a small country located on the Australian continent, just north of Geraldton, Western Australia. We just celebrated 35 years of independence from Australia and have received recognition from a UN member country. Due to recent events, we are now ready to commence radio transmissions. Firstly, we established the Ministry of Communications. A Communications Act was decreed. Radio regulations were formalised under the IARU regulations as a guideline, and a body to represent amateur radio in the Principality was created, to be known as the Royal Amateur Radio Society. The Royal Amateur Radio Society came into being on the 1st of July 2005. We have just applied for membership of the ITU-IARU Region 3, and once a provisional prefix is granted by the ITU, we will qualify for new country status for DXCC purposes. We believe that we have submitted all the documentation that should be required once we have new country status. It is anticipated that a large number of DXs and contesters will be eager to operate from here. The prefix block H5A to H5Z has been applied for and will be used unofficially until ratified by the ITU. We have a club station room available at the main government building and acres of land for an antenna farm, but we do not have any equipment or antennas to offer visiting hams as yet. We are asking the international DX community for help, as we are an emerging country and, as can be expected, funds are scarce, to purchase equipment for the club station. You and your group can help in several ways by joining the Royal Amateur Radio Society. Donate or sell radio items surplus to your needs at minimal cost. Donation of funds as well. So all donations of equipment and funds will be acknowledged by a personal letter of thanks from the Royal Amateur Radio Society and our sovereign, His Royal Highness Prince Leonard. Items can be sent directly to Hutt River Province or to me, that was Eddie, for checking and any refurbishment. I'm planning to return to Hutt River Province in a few months and can take what we have and set it up to begin operations. De-expedition groups will be very welcome, but we'll need to make a reservation as we expect a flood of hams wanting to use the club facilities in the first year that we have DXCC country status. Self-contained groups are welcome anytime. For information about the Hutt River Province Principality, an insight into our 35-year history of independence and photos of the Principality, please visit the URL at the time. An application for membership, citizenship, more information, reply on other matters can be had by contacting me at an email address. So that was yours in amateur radio, Eddie DeYoung, H50A, VK4AN and VK6CC. And he was designated as the Director General, Ministry of Communications and temporary Royal Amateur Radio Society Secretary of Everything. Of course, the Hutt River Province has now dissolved, and I understand that the property has been sold, and I understand is no longer in the Casey family. A bit of history in WA.
Thanks, Mark, for that story about amateur radio and the Hutt River Province. I certainly didn't know that stuff. And thanks to Phil VK6ADF for his research into the Royal Amateur Radio Society of the Hutt River Province. Now over to Andrew for another interesting part of our amateur radio history.
From the Daily News, 26th of April 1926, on 12 metres, local amateur success. The higher frequency transmissions, or in other words, the ultra-low wavelengths, are now attracting experimenters the world over. It's interesting, therefore, to know that two members of the Wireless Institute in this state are devoting much time and experimenting to this subject. Members of the Wireless Institute have always held a prominent place in the experimental field since the organization was formed in 1909. In fact, amongst world-famed discoveries in radio that members of that institute have made have been the first utilization of wireless for the explosion of guns and for other defense purposes in 1909, the transmission of drawings by radio in the same year, the first application of radio to the transmission of messages between moving trains in 1910, the first transmission by radio of natural coloured photographs for reproduction, and a number of successful across-the-world experiments on short waves with low power are mentioned to show that Australian experimenters are particularly keen on research work. Two Perth members of the Institute, Messrs. W.B. Phipps, 6WP, and H. Simmons, 6XX, have for some time been experimenting on wavelengths below 30 metres, and during last week were successful in carrying on communication by telephony on 12 metres. Tests are still being carried out on the 36, 20 and 12 metre bands, and any amateur who may be able to get down that low and who hear them are asked to submit reports. Probably one of the biggest drawbacks to reception of these signals, said Mr. Phipps today, when referring to reception on these low wavelengths, is that we shall have to reconstruct our ideas on receivers. For the set which is capable of receiving the 20 metre signals is of little use on either the 37 metres or 12 metres, while similarly the receiver found suitable on 12 metres is of little success on higher wavelengths. Tuning is exceedingly sharp, and great difficulty is found in getting speech, even though a few hundred yards separate our two stations.
Hello, this is Chris VK3QB with news about QRM Guru. ACMA endorses QRM Guru. In the first quarter of 2022, the Australian Communications and Media Authority undertook an internal evaluation of QRM Guru. The ACMA regard QRM Guru as, and I quote, a useful tool for self-diagnosis and management of interference by amateurs to inform any request for assistance by the ACMA and is open to all members of the amateur community to use, unquote. This is a tremendous endorsement of QRM Guru by our national regulator. It reinforces what ACMA, RASA and the WIA believe is the way forward for interference management. You can read more about what the ACMA have said about QRM Guru in the news next week. In the meantime, we continue to reach out to the WIA seeking their on-the-ground support to promote and support this resource. For over 3 years now, the WIA have practiced a policy of censoring any news about QRM Guru. WIA President Scott Williams, VK3KJ, is on board and wants to see the WIA get more involved. His first step was to ensure that QRM Guru author Ian, VK3BUF, was considered for the WIA Technical Excellence Award. And indeed, Ian won that technical merit-based award in 2022. Regrettably, to this day, some on Scott's board maintain a policy of censoring any news about QRM Guru. I'll submit another news item to the WIA National News this week coming. Let's see if the news producer runs it. What's next for QRM Guru? Well, now that the ACMA have endorsed the free resource, we want to strengthen the underlying support platform and extend its features. The team supporting QRM Guru have some updates. We've listened to feedback from users and contributors, and you'll start seeing these changes in the coming weeks and months. Initially, we're making some changes to the QRM kill kits. We're removing the five medium-sized snap-on clips and replacing them with two more 50mm ferrite rings. These rings are far more appropriate in dealing with RFI suppression. For now, at least, we won't be selling any more DF loop antennas. They've been very popular, but by their nature, they're expensive to post. And people have told us that they're able to purchase the parts locally. We still provide instructions and videos on how to build and use these in the field. So just check the QRM Guru website. We thank everyone who has contributed, purchased QRM Guru products, or sent us a donation. And we also thank RASA, who continue to cover our web and hosting fees. If you have any comments, feedback, or questions, please send us an email. The email address is feedback@qrm.guru. That's feedback@qrm.guru. This has been Chris, VK3QB73.
On HF, VHF, and UHF, via the VK6 linked repeater network, and online, this is News West from VK6 ARN.
It was interesting to see an email to the WAG list from a member saying that he'd been contacted by someone from outside of the country who maintained some sort of repeater list. This person said that they had heard that VK6 RLM and VK6 RTH were to be discontinued. You know, get the chop, having the obliviate spell cast on them. Well, like many rumours, it was news to the owners and operators of those repeaters. And it goes to show that if you're collecting and using information about resources that aren't your resources, the best source of information is the owner of the resource and the owner of that information. So that one was well fielded. And a couple of Perth techs ago, Free DV was introduced to us by David VK5DGR. Free DV is a digital voice mode for HF radio. You can run Free DV using a free GUI application for Windows, Linux and OS X that allows any single sideband radio to be used for low bitrate digital voice. Free DV is still being developed by an international team of radio amateurs working together on coding, design, user interface and testing. Free DV is open source software. And FreeDV is still being developed, and a new version 1.8.1 was released during the week. The website is freedv.org. UCW addicts out there would have recognised that straight away. That's the call sign of VK6RTH. We reported last week that the 2-metre repeater was off air. Well, pleased to announce that we mounted an expedition up to Tick Hill and the problem was rectified. VK6RTH, 2 metres, 70 centimetres and the APRS are all up there firing away on all 2.5 cylinders. And it's a resource there for you to use. Please use it and use it respectfully.
Something that happens in amateur radio, and thankfully so, is a steady influx of newcomers to the hobby. Something else that happens in amateur radio is a seemingly equal outflow of people leaving the hobby. That's a whole other discussion, and one worth having at another time. It's pretty important for the hobby to retain newcomers, to nurture and encourage them to grow in the hobby. One way we can do that is to make them feel welcome, informed, and included in this great hobby. Next week, News West turns its focus on newcomers to amateur radio with the new Amateurs Edition. How was your entry into the hobby? Would you like to tell your story? Our email address is newswest@vk6.net. Talk to us.
This is News West from VK6 ARN, produced by amateurs for amateurs, purely about the hobby of amateur communication and experimentation.
Last week I told you that we had played around with putting News West onto YouTube just to see what the reaction would be and whether or not it attracted any sort of an audience. So I put it out there on News West to say that we're doing it. We've got over a dozen people who viewed it. At least one of those would have been me. But anyway, it's a good beginning. I also asked for someone to take the task on, and Wayne VK6 Victor Echo offered to do the job. And I'm sure he'll be able to put it together quite well and learn very quickly. I learned in about 1 or 2 days, and so anyone else should be able to knock it off in half of that time. But anyway, he's having a go. We'll see how it goes. If you want to see what it looks like on YouTube, just search for VK6 News West, and there we are. and you'll see some back issues and you'll see some other stuff. So thanks, Wayne, for taking that on. And the other thing I did with Wayne, I said, well, I put some basic graphics in there just to make the movie, and I gave him a free hand what to put on there. But I guess we shouldn't break the law with our graphic images, but anything else is fair go. So that opens a whole new thing for us. If there are any images you have, movies or stills, that might relate to something we say on NewsWest, or that might be the basis of a story you're going to provide for NewsWest, you know what to do. Send them to newswest@vk6.net, and just be careful. You do need to have copyright permission or own the copyright for any videos you supply to us. And if there is any musical background, again, you have to have the copyright or the copyright permission, which, by the way, we have for the music that we open and close NewsWest with. It's been made available to us under one of those public licenses, free of use. And we do put an acknowledgement up on the graphics on the YouTube, on the splash screen. Anyway, enough babble from me. Please have a look. If you think you can contribute in any way to NewsWest on YouTube, you know what to do. NewsWest@vk6.net, and start talking to us. And thanks very much to Wayne for taking on the job.
Good morning. Amateur Radio Helpline for the 17th of July, 2022. Still looking for a couple of crystals. Two crystals required. 7.032 megahertz if you have one or two. Any crystals you may have between 7.030 and 7.035 megahertz. If you can help with those, get in touch with Ron. I think. Is it Ron? Yes, looks like Ron. And he can maybe contact it on 08-9417-1699. 9417-1699 with a 08 prefix, of course. Or email to ronbravofigure28@hotmail.com. That's Romeo Oscar November, bravofigure28@hotmail.com. And I assume it's still available, an antenna, a beam antenna. It's an NO antenna, XR3, 6-element, 2015, 10-mini-Yagi antenna. X-ray Romeo 3, 6-element, was 6-element, 2015 and 10 meters. Full-size interlaced elements. The boom is made of 50-millimeter square aluminium tube. If you can would like to have that, it's available for $750, about half the price of the UK pounds that was purchased under. Please text Steve, it's not Ron, no, that was the last one. This one's Steve, VK6 Victor Zulu. His telephone number 0408-183-742, 0408-183-742, or email Steve, vk6victorzulu@tpg.com.au. I spell Sierra Tango Echo Victor Kilo 6 Victor Zulu at tangopapagolf.com.au. And that, my friends, is all the repeats I have for this week. No new items, unfortunately. If you'd like to put any items in on next week's broadcast, please contact me. The address, Victor Kilo 6 X-ray Victor, @bigpond.com. Thank you once again for listening. 7-3 from Roy, VK6X-ray Victor. Cheers.
Thanks for listening, and thanks to all those who make it possible for you to hear NewsWest online, on air and on demand, and now for a trial time on YouTube. The studio team this week was Mike, VK6KMS, Andrew, VK6AS, Roy, VK6XV, and the guest presenters were Chris, VK3QB, and Mark, VK2KI, and he's also VK6QI. And I'm Bob, VK6POP, and I'm still the NewsWest producer. Aspiring successors to my position should send their applications by email to secretary@vk6.net. If you're listening on air, please hang around for the callbacks. And if you're unable to do the on-air callbacks, visit our website, vk6.net, and record your callbacks there. Have you seen the solar flux index lately? Your radio should be running hot, so there's nothing left for you to do after the callbacks but to get on air and make some noise.